Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Afternoon to you, Thursday edition, Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and Sean Carey, Steve on his way into the Sunbury Motors studio, because yes, it is a Steve Jones Thursday on WKOK. With you here live till 5, then we'll have the late day news roundup with Sarah Benick, and then 6:05 tonight, Steve is back for the Penn State Coaches Show, featuring James Franklin live from Primanti Brothers in downtown State College. Get Coach James Franklin's thoughts as the Nittany Lions then be leaving on a jet plane tomorrow for Evanston, Penn State Northwestern here. 10:30 airtime Saturday morning.
We are?
Yes.
Yeah, great. Looking forward to it. There is nothing like the view out of that press box, because you can see Lake Michigan and the Grosse Pointe Lighthouse, and I mean, it's actually pretty cool, to be honest with you. Really cool. Now, after that, the game starts. You're like, okay, enough of cool. Let's get to the game. We got our high school previews today. Got my brother today, and in between, Dana O'Neill today. We're going to talk about the hoops scandal, and being the great reporter that she is, she has, I'm sure, more information than most about what is a very interesting follow the money trail. Follow the money. And we're going to assume that Deb is doing well.
Doing well, resting comfortably. Kind of gets tired a little quicker than normal, but hey, she went through a lot 3 days ago. So, but doing well, and no complaints from this guy.
Very nice.
Yep.
Very, very nice. So,
no major setbacks, which is great.
That's great. Did the suit moderate at all?
I did tell with the Jaws story last night, though, with the appendix reference.
Oh, she had to like that.
Yeah.
That's the suit.
Yeah. Looking.
You've got a problem. He's out there looking at his appendectomy score. Boy. Now, tonight, the Patriots will play Tampa Bay Bucks.
That's going to be really interesting to see. Well, this could be the big primetime calling out party for Jameis Winston, just with that much maligned, ripped to shreds Patriots defense, and especially the secondary, as to what he'll be able to do tonight. With great weapons out there, like could this be the best game to date for Chris Godwin? Could be a good chance. Yeah,
Chris Evans.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see how this plays out, because Patriots defense has not played well at all.
I would think, I would think they would have to make a move by the trade deadline. But it's very rare that you hear about trades in the NFL.
There are more trades in the NFL this year than any time. Think about that.
Even the Steelers alone made some moves between training camp and the and opening day, which is very, very rare for them. So that's upper management say, hey, this is the year we're going all in, all or nothing. But yeah, trades during the season, that can be pretty rare.
Right.
And you hear about, you know, conditional picks. And we'll find out how the draft order goes. Yeah, if there's a trade, then we'll get you this player from this round next year.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people are not, no, they need to trade Garoppolo. No, you don't. Are you kidding me? I mean, that's insane. I mean, why do you want to trade him? I mean, Brady is 40, not 30. If Brady's 30, I trade him. Okay, I'm fine. But Brady's 40. The answer is no.
But would you take the angle, Jimmy Garoppolo will never be a Tom Brady, but how many quarterbacks out there are playing that'll never be a Tom Brady? I guess pretty much everybody out there on the lot. But is there a scenario you could take? Well, there could be a suitor out there. Yeah, if we get rid of Garoppolo, maybe we can get two or three defensive guys in return. But would you be able to get more than one guy in return for Garoppolo?
We're not going to get that.
No.
What do you do, make a trade with the Browns? I mean, there's a reason why they're over. Okay? Their personnel's not very good. And seriously, their personnel's not good. That's one of the reasons why they're not good. I don't know. I see stuff like that. Like, okay. But, it was interesting. I was on a show last night. I was on SB Nation last night. Okay. And they asked me about what James Franklin's been able to do. How did he get Penn State football back? And I said, because he didn't panic. He didn't sit there and listen to everybody around him. He didn't panic. He redshirted players instead of maybe playing them too soon, which then would lead to mass graduation at once. He acted as if he had 85 guys, instead of maybe playing somebody where he could have stolen a game somewhere just to make the record look a little bit better. Long-term would not have been great for the program, may not have been long-term great for the player. Sometimes you play somebody too soon. They're not matched up to the speed of the game yet. Well, and because he didn't panic when others around him might have, or other individuals might have, it makes a big difference. That's leadership. That's having something within yourself that tells you, no, if I do this and I'm patient, long-term, quote, we'll be better off. It is the, I got to do something now, panic moves that long-term cost programs. So I give him credit. I mean, that was the example I used last night, was him and what he's been able to do here. Baseball today. Astros are going to play the Red Sox. The Astros were very patient with their farm system. Very patient. They made a move here, made a move there. For example, Justin Verlander starting the game tonight. But they're in a position now where they can make those moves. Okay, great. They can do that now. And instead of trading people away, they've been able to put together a really good team for the last couple of years. Now, the team they're playing, the Yankees, of course, are playing the Indians. Indians are built the same way, but they signed Encarnacion, and they traded for Miller. The Yankees are a young team, But they did sign Chapman, and they traded for Sonny Gray. The fourth American League team, the Red Sox, got to the playoffs last year. Instead of trading, they brought up Andrew Benintendi, their prize prospect, and he paid off. This year, they brought up, instead of trading, a lot of people thought they were going to trade for Frazier, Todd Frazier, from the White Sox, and the Red Sox didn't. They brought up, instead, Rafael Devers, and he has paid off. Just like the Dodgers, Cody Bellinger paid off. Seager paid off. So you make these long-term moves that where you try to use some foresight to make the moves that you make.
Yeah, Sonny Gray's last start against Cleveland, August 3rd, 5-1 loss, pitched six innings, gave up four runs, two earned on four hits, with six strikeouts and three walks. That was his Yankees debut.
Right.
Gray's career record against Cleveland, 3-3, 3.38 ERA.
All right. So, I mean, that's what they're going to do. Okay. That's what you're looking at. So back to the Patriots. Don't panic. You've won five Super Bowls. You don't need to panic. So you don't trade Garoppolo. Unless you think in practice he looks lousy. But you don't panic. Ordinary franchises panic. And the reason why they remain ordinary is that they panic.
I think just leisurely football fans that just admire great coaching and Belichick, I think they're just looking back to say, okay, how's he going to get out of this one? What is he going to do to try to keep this going? Will he pull the trigger on something?
But again, what makes... We talk about great coaches. There's no doubt when you have the discussion about great coaches, Belichick's name deservedly is going to be mentioned. But the bottom line is you need personnel. You can't go in there with ordinary personnel or guys who are great athletes but not great thinkers and pull off what they can pull off. Okay? Even mediocre personnel or mediocre thinkers that don't react the way you're used to. Okay? Even Belichick can't perform a miracle with Matt Patricia. Can't. You need personnel. That's why I always laugh all the time. Oh, what's the big difference maker? I don't know. It starts with talent. Talent's a big one. We were talking about LSU yesterday. They went out and they hired Dave Aranda. Oh, the Dave Aranda, defensive coordinator. Well, Dave Aranda is a good defensive coordinator. Right? Matt Canada, they paid him all. Hey, I got Matt Canada. Well, guess what? Matt Canada comes in, and guess what? LSU's offense, they don't have very good personnel. Well, they're struggling. You can bring in Lombardi and Rockne, I'm telling you right now, and you get that group, still not going to do well. Now you got some people who are not good coaches. The people who are not good coaches are the ones that take good personnel and get nothing out of it. Now, those guys are mediocre coaches. But great coaches, part of what makes a great coach is they have great schemes, great ideas, great motivators, and what really makes it pay off is you end up with great personnel. Talent means something. How often do you see teams win championships when everybody says, you know, they really have mediocre personnel? No. Think Golden State's got mediocre personnel? No. Patriots over the years? No. Penguins, mediocre personnel? No. I mean, Malkin would be the best player in any other team. He's the second best player in his current team. All right, we'll take a break. Back with more in a moment. Coming up today, we're going to preview Milton, Lewisburg, Selins Grove. Did we get a commitment on the Shikellamy guy?
He's in. Big game tomorrow night. He's in.
Is there a specific amount of time we need to go with him contractually?
Well, you know where I put him in the lineup.
Hopefully in the after show. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us on the show today. We really like and respect Jordan Rodrigue of the Charlotte Observer very much. She covered Penn State football for a couple of years with the Center Daily Times. Did fabulous work, and then went down to Charlotte. Because she earned her way and worked her way up. Did a great job. And what Cam Newton did yesterday, this is 2017, really? There are two ways to ask a question. One is you ask a question where you're just asking a question. And another happens to be where you're questioning someone. Now, when you're questioning someone, then you become, at that point, contentious. How about that? But when you're asking questions, it should never be contentious. You're just asking questions. The question she asked yesterday was, essentially in the question, praised Cam Newton as a leader and was trying to talk about a former tight end, now wide receiver, who's physical in his routes. And he evidently thought that was funny. I don't know.
Hopefully you enjoyed the Cam Newton yogurt commercials, because they are
gone. I don't know. It's 2017. People are people. Jordan is an outstanding reporter. Does a really good job. His total lack of respect for that. Head shaker, because she wasn't questioning him at all. She was just asking a question about another player, obviously writing some sort of feature about it, which is a good thing.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, let's get to it here on the show. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. First of all, let's get to our matchup between Selins Grove and Mifflinburg. The Seals on the road at Mifflinburg. Zach Showers joins us. Zach, welcome back. Great to have you with us, my man.
Thanks for having me back again. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure on our part. All right, so how would you take a look at last week's game, Zach, and the progress Selins Grove's making?
It was just a really, really strong effort on Selins Grove's part. Going into last week, we talked a little bit about just having a solid all-around game, and really it was the defense and the running game that really stepped up last week. And with an already solid passing game, the Selins Grove defense held all of Jersey Shore's big players under their season averages. And the running game got going in a way that hadn't been going before. Jersey Shore was a team that liked to put 5, 6, 7 guys in the box at all times, and it seemed like the big plays would be through the passing game. But Joe Kahn, who almost doubled his total output on the season, ended up with 175 yards and two touchdowns on the ground. Mm-hmm. So overall, it was just a big win. Salins Grove jumped out the 25-0 lead at halftime and ended up holding on for a 25-6 win. And after the rain came in the second half, and both teams really didn't do much offensively the rest of the night.
Are they a better football team now than they were 3 weeks ago?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question. Just more balance offensively, and the defense has really stepped up. They allowed 105 yards passing last week, which is the first time in, I think, 5 weeks where they allowed over 100 yards, but that was only a 9 of 25 passing. They've had four turnovers, and just that balance with the rushing game has been huge moving forward.
Now, talking about moving forward, it's going to be Mifflinburg. It'll be on the road tomorrow night. What are your thoughts on that matchup, Zach?
Well, honestly, and this is no disrespect to the next 2 weeks, but really these next 2 weeks are going to be big for Salins Grove just to rest up and also to just come in and work on execution. Last week, Salins Grove had over 100 yards in penalties, so it's something moving forward that they're going to need to clean up when you play Mount Carmel and Southern to end the season in a few weeks. Mifflinburg is very one-dimensional. They have a quarterback that's thrown for 900 yards and seven touchdowns and has 403 yards on the ground, but he is pretty much their entire offense. So it's going to be a lot of the front seven or front eight in Salins Grove's case really getting after quarterback Gary DeGroat Jr. and trying to stop him, and I think that will be where we're watching tomorrow night.
All right, Zach, always a pleasure. Great work as always. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right, Salins Grove at Mifflinburg. That'll be at Eagle 107 coming up tomorrow night, 6 o'clock the airtime, 7 o'clock the kickoff on WMLP. Milton at home to take on Mount Carmel. Steve Williams joins us. Steve, great to have you with us again. And, is the offense exciting enough to get people interested, or is the defense been struggled so much that it takes the interest away?
Both. Yeah, last week against Southern Columbia, they were able to score 21 points on the Southern first defense. So that's a big plus coming out of that game, and I'm sure that's something that head coach Phil Davis is going to be harping on this week. But, you know, they just continue. They are not able to stop the run. Now, last week, Gage Garcia, who right now has almost 700 yards rushing, pretty much was able to run at will. He's just an amazing athlete. And, you know, their passing game with Julian Fleming, you know, he's a man amongst boys, and he's only a sophomore. You know, we're hearing rumors of who's looking at him already, and I certainly hope he's on James Franklin's scope because, you know, he's a big kid just as a 10th grader. It's amazing the talent they have. But they were just severely outmanned against an impressive Southern Columbia offense.
When Milton scores with that fine passing attack that they have, how quickly do they score? Which then leads me to the next part. Is there a way for them to make drives, quote, longer to keep the defense off the field?
They score very quickly. In fact, last week I think there were probably five drives of less than 2 minutes between the two teams. All of the Milton scores were very quick. And, you know as well as I do, the way to keep your defense off of the field is to have a running game, and they don't have that. They only have, they have under 400 yards on the season in rushing. They've just not been able to establish anything on the ground, and they're not able to run that clock. And they've lost a couple of games early in the season when teams were able to hold the ball through the majority of the second half and just absolutely wear them out.
Now it's going to be Mount Carmel coming in to play Milton tomorrow night at Milton. Your thoughts on this matchup, Steve?
Well, you know, last year we saw Mount Carmel, and they were a very good team, but their game plan was very simple, and it almost looked like a sandlot game where the quarterback took the snap and he ran. He ran right, he ran left, he ran up the middle. He very rarely handed the ball off, and he didn't throw the ball very often. Well, this year they moved him to halfback, so we may see a few more handoffs to him, because right now he's the leading rusher in the area. He's got 762 yards. So, you know, we're going to see much of the same of John Ayers all over the field. Just, you know, one of those in a very long line of really good Mount Carmel running backs. But they got to figure out how to stop him. If they can stop him and figure out how to get a running game, they can make a game of it.
Steve, appreciate the time very much. It's on WMLP tomorrow night at 7, 6:30 will be the airtime. Thanks, my friend.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, Lewisburg hits the road to play Danville this week. You'll hear it on 100.9 The Valley at 7 o'clock with a 6:30 airtime. As always, Greg Wetzel joins us. Greg, welcome. Is Lewisburg a better team now than they were 3 weeks ago? And pro and con, why or why not?
That's a great question, because they've beaten who they should have beaten this year, and they've lost probably to who they should have lost to this year. But I would think they're better in terms that they're doing what they want to do, and that's run the football. Where they're not better is protecting the quarterback, in terms of teams send a lot of guys at Lewisburg because they know they have trouble blocking, picking up the blitz. And that's something they've been doing, and it's putting Chaleski under a lot of pressure. But last week, they came out and they ran an unbalanced line in the second half. I saw them practice that for several weeks. And last week, they used it in the second half against Montoursville. Caught Montoursville completely off guard. Probably ran for close to 150 yards in the second half and just dominated the game. So in that aspect, they're better.
Right, that's interesting, because, you know, and obviously if they want to throw the football, do they have the kind of players where you can figure out a hot read? Because you know you're going to get man on something like that. Do they have the kind of players that can figure out a hot read and get a team out of a blitz eventually?
They do. They do have that in Dylan Farinato and Andrew Chaleski. But last week, it's funny you mentioned that, because they had that hot read. And the defense, on the play they were going to run it, they had it set up perfectly. But the defensive back kind of just stumbled into a great coverage play. And it wasn't that he did anything else. He literally just stumbled into it and broke up the play. So,
wow.
Yeah. It is.
That's
amazing.
Luck. Yeah, I mean, luck enters into it too sometimes.
Yeah,
I mean, you
does.
And I both know that.
Yep.
You don't want to, you can tell all the schemes you want. It's amazing how luck enters into it.
That's right.
Now they've got to hit the road to play Danville. You've talked about how Lewisburg has won the games that they probably should have won, mm-hmm. and they've lost the games they probably should have lost. In your opinion, where does this game fit?
Well, I would have said 2 weeks ago this is a game that Lewisburg would not be the favorite. I still kind of feel that way, but Danville is now going to be starting a freshman quarterback. And I think if Lewisburg can control their running game and force that quarterback to beat them, they have a chance. Last year, this game went into overtime in a game, realistically, Lewisburg had no sense of being in. They tied it in within the last 30 seconds on a touchdown pass, stopped Danville inside the 1 yard line on three consecutive plays, and won it in overtime. And I'm sure the Danville coach is harping on that this week, because that game shouldn't have been close last year. And now with the freshman quarterback, I think the Lewisburg kids are feeling good about themselves, because realistically, they dominated the line of scrimmage probably from about the middle of the third quarter to the end of the game last year.
Greg, always a pleasure. Appreciate it. It's going to be at 100.9 The Valley coming up tomorrow night, 6:30 the airtime, and 7 o'clock the kickoff. Again, as always, my friend, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Shikellamy on News Radio 1070 WKOK will hit the road to take on Jersey Shore, where a certain announcer has ticked off the entire populace of Jersey Shore for years with bulletin board material. And Sean, let's face it. I mean, some people, it's all about them, isn't it?
I've suggested we have to have a backup car just with, for Lazo, riding shotgun just in case.
Wow.
It's not a bad idea.
He's beloved in Jersey Shore.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Short-term memory. Look at you.
Yeah, that's really good. Short-term memory.
No idea what you're talking about.
Even Wetzel sitting over there, Wetzel knows who we're talking about.
He's just sitting back, taking it all in.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
They never have a good program. They're never consistent. I don't know.
I did not say that.
Route 45, big billboard. Your picture, Public Enemy number one.
I just said I thought the team before it was a little better. I still stand behind that. That team turned out to be pretty darn good themselves.
And yes, one of the worst things, Sean, you can do in this business is really be stubborn.
If it's any consolation, I think this Jersey Shore team is pretty much a young team, but a very talented young team. How's that?
Yeah.
Well, sounds to me like we're trying to dig our way out.
I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming.
There we go. A little faux praise. Maybe this ought to quiet the populace. All right. First question for you. I asked Greg this. I mentioned this as well to Zach. Is Shikellamy a better football team than 3 weeks ago? And if so, why or why not?
I think that's a 50-50 right now. I think they're better in some aspects. I think defensively they've improved quite a bit against the run. Offensively, I think they're running the ball a little bit better, but I think Gabe Tilford kind of fell a little bit backwards throwing the football a couple of weeks ago. He has started to improve and got away from the high arcing passes and completed some really good passes a week ago. This is still a team that I think relies on the big play a little bit too much, although for the first time last week, we saw them put a nice drive together a couple of times late in the game to put the game away. So in some ways, yes. In some ways, I think they still have room to grow.
All right. So now you look at, you know, are they in a case where they've won every game they're supposed to win and lost every game they're supposed to lose? Or is there one swing game in there that, you know what, they stole or lost that one?
I think the Selins Grove game is one that came in that was a toss-up game. I think if they would have won the Williamsport game, that would have been one that really would have said that. That was a program game. Being able to go into double overtime with Williamsport, I think that would have changed the overall view. The fact that they went into overtime got them a lot more respect. If they would have won that game, it would have gone to the next level. I think this team has performed very well against some of the better teams, against teams that have struggled a little bit. They have started off slow, but then they were able to put teams away. And I think a great example of that was last week. Shamokin played very well in the first half, kind of handled Shikellamy's running game, but then Shikellamy made some adjustments, got some line, changed the line blocking a little bit up front. This is still a very young, inexperienced offensive line that's still learning a lot. They're getting better at their blocks. They made some changes in the second half, and I think that really showed with the way they were able to score three unanswered touchdowns in the second half.
What are some of the key matchups now with Jersey Shore that you think are going to be swing areas?
Boy, I'll tell you what. The key every week is find somebody to control Gabe Tilford. Whether he's throwing the ball or running the ball, he is a dangerous, dangerous threat if you're a defense. He has 629 yards in the air. He's got 448 yards on the ground. Every time he touches the ball, he can do one of three things. He can throw the ball, he can run the ball, and he can give the ball to somebody else. And when he does give the ball to somebody else, it's usually Joe Folk, and Joey's done a really great job, even though he's been a little beat up earlier in the season. I think the key for Jersey Shore's defense, which normally comes out in a 5-2 anyway, is to try and keep him contained in the pocket. On the other side, Shikellamy has to find a way to stop Kyle Thome. The junior is about 30 yards away from 1,000 yards already in the season, and we still have four more games to go. This kid has been the workhorse for this team. Elijah Shamori, the quarterback, in his senior season, one of the few seniors, I think only one of four seniors on this starting offense, has put up over 1,000 yards passing and 13 touchdowns to just 7 interceptions. He's completing just under 50% of his passes, which is not bad for a team that doesn't rely on the pass like Jersey Shore does. So I think it's a tougher matchup, I think, for Shikellamy to try and figure out a way to keep Tome's yardage down, and there's only been one team that's really done that this year, and that was in week one of Belfont. Everybody else has put him, he's been over 200 or 150 at least, and try and find a way to take Shamori's arm out of the picture, too.
Oh, Shawnee's done. All right.
I'm very detail-oriented.
Save it for tomorrow night. Save a little for tomorrow night.
Oh, there's plenty for tomorrow night.
Really?
It's the showdown at the shore.
Yeah. Wait till you see the signs when you go to the town. The showdown's going to become awfully personal.
I was up there a couple of times in the last year, basketball especially. Nice people, very warm and welcoming to me. I don't know where you're getting this from.
The police department. All right, so
the escort is always in the front. It's not in the back, all right?
And by the way, in case you were wondering, and we doubt you were, Deb's doing fine.
I've asked several times, thank you.
He has.
Yeah, but you always talk about your problem.
Well, I have so many to choose from. That's the thing.
I mean, this is like being the chief in Jaws licking his appendectomy scar. Worry about it. Come on.
No, I'm just saying I understand everything she's going through. I can relate. You know, I'm here to help.
You've made no one feel better.
Ah, the love that I feel on this show just warms me heart.
You miss it, don't you?
Let's do a quick poll. Deb, when you talked to Kevin, did it make you feel better? It's a one-person poll. Because he says he understands you. All right,
been
tomorrow
there,
night.
Understand that.
When you were going through this, we all, this outpouring of support, not one of us sat there and said, you know, I understand what you're going through.
Well, I wanted to No, because nobody else did. That's why.
No, we just went the sympathy route and, you know, didn't make it about us.
I'm not responding to that.
I feel like we struck a nerve, Sean.
I don't have to take this abuse. There's hundreds of people waiting to abuse me. And according to you, they all live in Jersey Shore.
Oh, no. Based on how the last year's been going in digital media, it's more than just Jersey Shore.
Yeah, the borders have branched out a little bit.
Oh, it's almost 4 o'clock. All right, have a great show, guys. Enjoy the next half hour.
It's 4 o'clock somewhere. Hey,
Kevo and Dick Hort will have the broadcast tomorrow at 7 o'clock, 6:30 the air time. Hey, have a great broadcast tomorrow night. Thanks for all the fun today.
Hey, thank you, bud.
All right. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
So tomorrow night, Eagle 107, 6 o'clock the airtime, 7 o'clock the kickoff, Selins Grove at Mifflinburg, and Sean carry on postgame with the best roundup you're going to hear on radio anywhere, recapping the night in high school football. It is an outstanding show. Then coming up on WMLP, it'll be Milton at home to take on Mount Carmel. Again on WMLP, 7 o'clock the kickoff, 6:30 the airtime. On 100.9 the Valley, Lewisburg will play at Danville tomorrow. 7 o'clock the kickoff, 6:30 the airtime. And with Kevo and the coach, Dick Hort, Shikalimi at Jersey Shore, 7 o'clock the kickoff, 6:30 the airtime. Next half hour, Dana O'Neill. We have a lot to get to with her. So Dana O'Neill will join us in the next
half hour, and then some picks in the final half hour. It's all coming up. He didn't come back into the studio at one point and ask you really how Deb was doing, did he?
I'm still waiting.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.